Everything that I'm saying tonight, I'm preempting by saying that I am not negative about the faith message. Okay? Now, would you repeat that after me so that I'll know that you heard me? I am not negative. Okay. No, so I know you're not. Say, Delbert's not negative about the faith. Okay. Man. All right. But what I want to show you tonight is that there's more. I want to work in an aspect tonight that lets you know that possibly we'll see it. I hope we do that we have yet to touch the New Testament truths, and the aspects in the area that we have been operating in faith have basically been Old Testament faith. Just a quick example, did they raise the dead in the Old Testament?
Yes.
Okay. And, of course, we need to get to that place, don't we? Huh? And so that's kind of, I'm wanting you to see that, though, before we can go into what God has for us, we've got to first perfect in what we are supposed to do. And the walk of faith and what we've been taught thus far. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 5. Look at Hebrews. Everybody thought I'd say 11, and I will be there after a while. But Hebrews 5 is where I want to begin at. Let's pray. Father, Lord, you're so good. Lord, everyone that was in this building this morning was blessed, in particular me. Lord, I thank you for your greatness and for your goodness, for your mercy. You are a God of love and a God of mercy. And Lord, we appreciate that. Lord, I appreciate your people. I appreciate your love that you display through the people. And Lord, I just pray that I will be what I need to be to respond to that. And Lord, tonight as we look into your word, Lord, I pray that the church hears what I'm trying to say. And Lord, I just ask you to anoint the ears so that the ears can hear what the Spirit's saying and what I'm trying to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Has any kids got any radios on in their pockets? Okay. This is on. I heard this. Okay, Hebrews 5. What am I talking about tonight?
Faith.
Okay. All right. What does it take to please God? Without, it is impossible to please Him. So that's where we're coming from, and don't forget that, okay? Don't forget that. And whatever I say tonight, please don't forget that. All right. Verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, or that those that are moving into perfection. If you have a margin in your Bible, it would probably say perfect. Even those who by reasons of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto something. God wants us to not be babes and not stay on milk all of our life. He wants us to start eating some meat and go on and grow up, become perfect, become mature. And what does the Bible tell us that we are to move on into? Move on into perfection or maturity. Let us go on unto perfection. Now, here we go. Not laying again the foundation of repentance, the foundation of, foundation of repentance from dead works, the foundation of faith toward God, the foundation of doctrine of baptisms, the foundation of the laying on of hands, and foundation of the resurrection of the dead, and the foundation of eternal judgment. Now, I know it doesn't say foundation of in all of those, but that's what he's saying. All of those are foundation doctrines of Christ. All right? Do you see that? Before we go any further, that you must understand that all of those are the fundamentals or the foundation doctrines of Christ. Faith toward God is a foundation doctrine of Christ. And then it says in verse 3, and this will we do if God permit. This will we do if God permit. What will we do if God permit? Go on to maturity, go on into perfection. But we've got to first get a permit. All right. Is that what it says? Who's going to permit us to go on into maturity? Who do we have to get our permit from? Now, stay with me because it's this simple what I'm fixing to project to you. Before we could begin any of the construction, wiring, anything that we wanted to begin in this structure, we had to get a permit. We had to. Several years back, we built a house, and I had to get a building permit before I could build. Now, the primary reason that you have to get a building permit before you can build is so that the building inspector can come out and see that you've got a proper foundation, right? Had I not got the building permit, and I had just made me maybe a 2-inch foundation on that house, and built my house on a 2-inch foundation, and he came out there, and I'm supposed to have an 8-inch to 12-inch foundation, what could he have made me do? Tear that whole house down because the foundation wasn't built right. Now, in the words of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse about 13, 14, and 15, what God says, he says this way. He says, every man's works will be tried as a fire. To see what it is. And if you build on the foundation that's not laid properly, what will God do? Our God is a consuming. What will God do? He'll burn it down and say, do it again until you get it right. Lay this time the proper foundation. Do you hear what I'm saying? Before we can ever build, there must be the proper foundations laid. Now, I shared with you this morning from my heart, and you know that I'm the kind of a person that I like to build. And a lot of times, I don't like to put the proper foundation. I just like to go. Erect it. Let's get on with it. Huh? But what I'm seeing and what I'm wanting to show you tonight, I saw this today, that God says we got to lay first the right foundation. Without the proper foundation of those six basic doctrines, fundamental doctrines of Christ, we can never build a proper structure. And when the winds come and the tides blow and the fires come, if it's not on the proper foundation, what's it going to do anyway? It's going to fall. So we got to understand that these doctrines of Christ are the foundation of the structure. And one of those doctrines of Christ is faith toward God. We need faith toward God. Now that word faith toward there, that word toward is the Greek word epi, E-P-I. And it actually means upon. Faith upon God is really what it's saying. And it's kind of like you casting your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Right? You see what I'm saying? And that's kind of the where we are right now in our faith walk, isn't it? We cast our cares on Him, our needs on Him, because He cares for us. It's that realm of faith. It's our personal, and I want to use the word selfish if it won't bother anybody, but I don't mean it in a negative way, because that's what it really means. It's the aspects of our selfish faith, of our self-life faith. That's where your faith is going to begin with you. God will put you in a position where you need God, where nothing else will do. And you have to believe God to work in your life before you can ever believe Him to work in mine. Okay? I got to believe He'll heal a headache in me before He'll heal a headache in you. Okay? I got to believe He can get my finances straightened out before I can believe with you to get your finances straightened out. So the proper foundation must be laid. And so that is faith toward or faith upon God. We got to get the building permit. And then we move on into perfection. We can start building. Let's look now at Romans 1:17. Well, I'm coming back to Romans. I'm just wanting to lay a foundation before I talk about it. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Very familiar scripture. In Psalms 84 and 7, the King James Version tells us that we are moving from strength to strength. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, where it's talking about the glory, it says we're moving from glory to glory. We are constantly moving. The cloud of glory is moving. We are always moving in God from one dimension in Him to another dimension. And I'm going to really elaborate on this in just a second. And so obviously in Romans 1:17, what I'm wanting here is just the aspect of from faith to faith. Let's read it. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live. And if you'll just stop right there, you can get excited. The just shall live. The just shall live. Hallelujah. By faith. Okay. I wanted to hallelujah. That's what I really wanted because I think living's fun. But what I'm wanting here is from faith to faith. And now I want to give you just a little bit of a word study. And I don't want to really drag it out. I get lengthy on my word study if I'm not careful. But the word, the Greek word from is number 575 in the Strong's Concordance. And it's the Greek word apol, I suppose is close enough. And this is what it means. It means away from something near. And it denotes separation, departure, and completion. That's what that word from means. From faith. There is a realm of faith. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, he says there is a realm of faith that we're moving from, that we're separating from, that we're departing from, that we have completed or that we should be completing. We're moving away from it. We're moving from something near. Okay? That's what that from means. Now, and then he says, faith to faith. So let's see what the word to. It's the Greek word isis or isis, E-I-S. It's number 1519. I think it's really enunciated ice, I-C-E. And it means to or into. Indicating the point reached or entered, and it expresses motion. So what that is literally saying to us, Romans 1:17, what it's literally saying to us is this: completion of faith, entering faith. We, he says, the righteous are doing this. The righteous are completing a realm of faith and moving into a realm of faith. All right? We okay so far? From faith to faith. Donates movement. We are separating from one realm of faith, moving into another realm of faith. To, into. From faith to faith. We're moving from a realm of what we have been always walking in faith into a brand new realm that Jesus wants us to move into, faith. Now, Deuteronomy 6:23, I want you to see this one. She sang about Canaan a while ago. Deuteronomy 6:23. God is doing something. How many understand that the church today is in the likeness or a type of, or the nation of Israel is a type of the church? We understand that. And so we can look and see what God did with the nation of Israel, and then we can also denote and draw and grab spiritual insights and understandings into our life. So what I want you to see here in Deuteronomy 6:23 says, "And he, God, brought us out from thence, Egypt, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers." He brought us out to bring us in. Okay? He brought us out of Egypt to bring us in to Canaan. Now, that was the purpose why they came out of Egypt, wasn't it? Everybody with me? Baby bottle will be okay. It's broken. Forget about the baby bottle. Brought us out of Egypt, brought us out of the world, and he brings us into the kingdom of God. We are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love, kingdom of light, kingdom of God. He's brought us out of one kingdom into another. Is that correct? He brought us out for a purpose. What was the purpose? To bring us in. But how many Christians today do not understand that by the blood of the Lamb, they've been purchased and brought out for a purpose to be brought in? And we're, you know, ready to fly away or something, and God said, no, overcome. We're brought out of the world to be brought in to the kingdom. The Canaan is not heaven. Do we understand that? Canaan land is not heaven. You won't find giants in heaven. You won't find the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Canaanites and the Mosquitoites. You won't find them in heaven. You won't find that realm in heaven. But you know where you will find them at. You'll find them in Canaan. In Canaan, there's battles. In Canaan, there's warfare. He brought you out of the world, whether you believe it or not, for warfare. How many has been in some warfare since you've gotten saved? Amen. And you see, if you read and study the book of Joshua, you get on into there, and you start seeing all these battles, and you come up, and there's one chapter that denotes them all, and there's 31 kings that was depossessed from the land of Canaan. Now, that speaks about your Canaan. If you really want a real insight, that's your life and 31 kingdoms inside of you that must be depossessed and allow the King of Glory to rule in it. Now, that's what we're really paradoxing about there, is it getting into your life and understanding that there are 31 kingdoms in you. I don't know we got that. Canaan is the place for you to possess. And to possess your Canaan, you must depossess the kingdoms that are already in there. Sam, how many kingdoms have you already depossessed out of your kingdom? Sam knows what I'm talking about. How many? 8 or 10, okay. How many? Out of 31? Let's... All right, you see the principle that I'm saying. It is a constant progression. It's a constant movement. He brought you out of Egypt to come into Canaan. He brought you out of darkness to come into light. There's a purpose behind you. There's a purpose why he saves every individual. He brings us out to bring us in. It's a progressive walk. I want to write this up here. I was in the world. How many of you were in the world one day? Okay? Okay. One day, God saved me. Okay? One day, God made sure that I was water baptized. One day, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, one day I got my I received healing. Let me do that one first. And another day, I overcame my finances. What did I have to do first? I do this one first. It's a progressive walk. You've got to do one before you can do two or three. Now, I've seen God move down here in these areas with individuals, of course, that were still in the world. But you see, the principle that I'm trying to project to you, to get to the total overcoming life, you first got to get saved. And if you're not saved, you need to get saved. To get out of the world, what have you got to do? This is not complicated, and it's not a trick question. Get saved. So it's a progression. That's what I'm wanting you to start to see first of all. One comes before two. He brought you out of the world to bring you in to Canaan. He brought you out of Egypt. He brought you out of the world to bring you into the kingdom. All right. Now, same wave of thought. He's bringing you from your realm of faith to his realm of faith. He's bringing you from a foundation faith, which is where we are right now, to a mature faith, or a walk in a perfection, or a maturity. He's bringing us from an immature to a mature, from a foundation to maturity. Before you can get to maturity, what must we first lay first, if he permit, the foundation? Now that's where I'm coming from. I'm not saying anybody's where I'm going. Let me say it right. I'm not saying that anyone is walking in the dimension that I'm about to project to you. But what I am saying is where God wants us to go, and the realm of faith that we are now in is not where we're going. We're just laying the foundation today. So what are you teaching this for? I want you to see where we're going. Do you feel like that we need more of foundation faith in our fellowship? Do we need to do some resurrection of the dead? Do we need to do some of those things that basic foundation faith does? Do some of our people in our fellowship need to get their finances under control? So before we can go to where Jesus wants us to go, first you've got to defeat the kings in your life. You've got to defeat the king of finance in your life. You've got to defeat the king of disease in your life. You've got to defeat the king of this and the king of that in your life. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. It's still talking, laying the foundation to move on into perfection. I wrote this down. You do not take a first grader and teach him Greek. Right? Before you can learn Greek, you better understand the basic principles of language or something there. You know, you've got to have some foundation before you can take him. Write it right. All right. Now, have we got any children in here? I'm talking little children. Oh, I use Christopher. He's pretty little. Where'd he go? What if I tried to teach him some Greek? Yeah, he hasn't got to see Dick run yet. He hasn't got to spot. He's gotten to the basics, so there's no way. So what I'm projecting to us is that God wants us to lay a foundation. He wants the foundation faith laid before he can take his people into the land where he wants us to go. I think that's clear enough. Is a baby or a very young child very self-centered? This is another point. What do they think about continually? Self. What does a baby Christian think about? Where is our faith for the most part? Now, I'm not talking about you, but for the most part, where is our faith level? Be honest. Come on. This is not being mean. This is really nice. I'm wanting you to see that I'm a selfish person, and most of my faith needs I cast upon him because they're very self-centered. Okay? And you're the same way. Sure, I pray for people. I pray for a lot of people, and I lay hands on a lot, and I help believe for them. But I'm moving from one realm to another. But at the same time, for the most part, our faith level is on the immature foundation realm. But we must develop. I'm not being negative. Everybody say, he's not being negative. He's not being negative. I'm not being negative about that level, because you've got to learn how to work yourself and have faith for yourself before you can have faith for someone else or something else. And where I'm going is, of course, the kingdom of God, kingdom of Jesus. Okay? Sure. And that's where I'm heading. And that's what God's faith will do. And I'm going to show you in just a little while what his faith is pointed to and what he really wants from our faith. Our faith mostly centers in our life or our needs. God's faith believes for his kingdom. Hebrews chapter 4. We have a lot of heavy teachings here. We have like Randy Adler's to come through. Deep Word. We have Gil Melendez's coming through. And wonderful praise services and times of adoration and good understandings of the Word as far as praise and worship goes. So we have a depth in Word. But I want to show you why we'll perish in the wilderness if we don't do something. And that's why I guess God's really put this on me about the faith thing. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore, what? Fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into the rest. How many want to enter in? We're going in, aren't we? Enter into the rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, he's warning us about something. If you want to go into Canaan, if you want to go into the rest, if you want to go into the kingdom in its fullness, you're in the kingdom, but if you want to walk in it in its fullness, if you want to do that, he's fixing to warn us about something. So, get your antennas up and listen. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. That's speaking about the nation of Israel in the wilderness. He says they received the gospel in the wilderness. And you can read that, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians 10 or either 2 Corinthians 10, where it talks about they come through the sea, they were baptized into Moses, they had the blood of the Lamb, they had all those the Spirit was baptism in the Spirit, they had all those things, water from the rock, and he says that was the gospel that they had preached to them. All right? For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, speaking of the nation of Israel, but the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So we can get all the deep revelation. Oh, man. And, you know, kingdom-type preachers have that kind of, you know, they really want to get into that word and just, oh, look at this. But if it's not mixed with our faith, what will it profit us? Nothing. And we'll die in the wilderness like everybody else. To move into the fullness of the kingdom of God, and I really hit it when I was in Romans 1:17, for the just shall live by faith. To move into that dimension of life eternal, we've got to mix faith with our word. Are you hearing me? It must be mixed if we're going to enter into the fullness of his rest. Let's read that chapter 4, verse 2 one more time. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed, the NIV Bible says, combined with faith in them that heard it. You got to mix, you got to combine the word that you're hearing with faith. Let's see if there's anything else that I need to get. All right. Go back to, let's go on to Hebrews 11. While we're right here, I wanted to give it just like I've got it in my notes, and I'm going slow. Bear with me. I'm getting ready just before reading Hebrews chapter 11. But before I do, I want to list a few things that foundation faith gives us, or we or we receive from Foundation Faith. The first thing that we receive is our initial salvation. How are you saved? Okay? By grace through faith. It's an act of your faith. That's all it is. You have got a contract. It's with the Word of God. But what I'm saying is that you're walking this out by faith. By faith, you're saved. Amen? By faith, you're having a relationship with Jesus Christ. By faith, you're maturing. By faith. What is the second thing then that most of us go through? And you can get two or three, either one. Let's just go water baptism. Does that swimming pool experience, does that getting dunked experience mean anything without faith? No. It's foolishness without faith. You no more died when you went down in that water and got right back up than I did. And I didn't. But by faith you did, and you was resurrected with Jesus. By faith, when that happened to you, you signed the covenant relationship of circumcision. By faith, when you were water baptized, something happened. By faith. Right? By faith. The third one. Faith for healing. How many of you, just to show some people that have never experienced this realm, have ever received faith, have received healing by operating pure faith? If there's a skeptic, look at the hands. You receive healing by your faith. How many of you has ever refused by faith to get sick? Have you? You've had some good opportunities. I've had some good opportunities. God is waiting for a generation who not only refuses to get sick, but will refuse to die. Now that's on the other side of the spectrum over here, but that's where we're headed. And God's going to take a people that's got that kind of faith to that dimension in Canaan. He says, did Paul say, we shall not all sleep? And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, ye that are alive and remain. There'll be a generation who will overcome the last enemy, 1 Corinthians 15, which is death. So that is where that's what I'm wanting you to see. There's something happening. God is showing us some things about healing. He's showing us some things concerning faith, and He's wanting a generation who refuse just to die. How about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Wow. Holy Ghost baptism. How'd you receive that? By faith. Now, you could have went out and practiced talking tongues for a little while. I mean, I got it. But it's by faith you do these things. I mean, it's foolishness. Are those things simply foolishness to the world? Boy, they are dumb, man, to the world. But to us, it's operating in our faith, and it's establishing your foundation. It's establishing your right to build on. You've got to do these things before you can really build that structure God wants us to build. One more. How about finances? How many of us have really used our faith to overcome our finances? And see, we dwindle there. But everybody say he's not being negative. He's not being negative. Because I know you can do it. I know by faith you can overcome the king of finances. you can overcome that rascal and you can defeat him. I've done it. But I had to declare a war against him, and it took a couple of years to beat him, but I beat him. And he's a defeated foe in my life. How'd I do it? By faith. Me and Judy one night, we got together. We do that. We get together pretty regular. But this particular night, we were getting together about prayer. And so we had a little book that we were writing our prayers on. And I wrote down, we said, we're going to pray about it. We want to get out of debt. We want to be totally debt-free. And I did something then that I wouldn't do now. I put a date. I said, by next year. Is that what we did? We want to be debt-free. I owe a good bit of money. But you know what? We moved into a brand new house, totally paid for. How many? 10, 11 months? By that year, we were debt-free. Finances were overcome. And I did it by faith. And what I'm saying is that you can do it too. But what kind of amazes me sometimes is when I hear preachers talking about taking a city and they can't balance their checkbook. Huh? Preachers, right? Bad old preachers. How about a congregation of people that talks about taking a city? So you hear what I'm really... He's not being negative. But before you can get over here, what we got to do? Right. See? Before we can get over here to where I'm taking us, eternal life and all those things of understanding the kingdom of God and moving into it, we got to lay a foundation. We got to get firm in these things. And how many understand that I just taught you the entire faith message right here? Is that what the faith message is right here? Have I been negative about it? I love it. And I'm telling you, you need to do this. If you're not saved, if you're not water baptized, if you can't believe God for your healing, if you can't believe God for the Holy Ghost baptism, and if your finances are in a mess, you need to get them over there before you really start looking at this hard. You got to get this before you can get this. It's progression, and I want you to see that. He's taking us. And I'm going to show you that this is basically Old Testament faith that we're walking in. Jesus has a realm of faith that we haven't scratched yet. The New Testament, I promise you, the New Testament has not yet been scratched for what it contains for those... Well, did he say that? I have not seen, ear hath not heard. There is something yet waiting for us. But before we can go to it, we need to learn to operate in the realm of foundation faith. Hebrews 11. We are moving from something that's good. How many understand that this is really good and it works? This is real good and it works. But we're moving to something that's better. Okay? Is this good? Yes, it is good. But how many want to live forever? Is that better? All right. So we've got a good thing here. We've got a good thing, but we're going to something better. All right. Dewey provides me a really nice house to live in. Really nice. But you know what? Roger Powell is going to build me a better one. Huh? You see? We've got something good. We've got something that really works. We've got something that's really positive. But there's something better. Who can tell me what the entire book of Hebrews is about? Something better. It's a better covenant. It's a better blood. He's better than the angels. And you're going to find in just a minute that the faith in Hebrews 12 is better than the faith in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Now, faith is. How many really want to know what faith is anyhow? You know, you just got in this thing. Really don't know what faith is. Faith is the substance of things. Stop right there. It's not ideas. It's not philosophies. Faith is the substance of something that's very practical. Very practical. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it works in the unseen realm. It doesn't work by what you see, taste, touch, hear, smell. It doesn't work with your five natural senses. If it works with your five natural senses, then it is not faith. If you can make it happen, it's not faith. If you can think it up with your ideas, it's not faith. Faith comes from your spirit man, from your innermost being, and it projects out and it becomes substance. Substance. Verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Look at verse 4. By faith, Abel. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated. I want to read this one. I had to write one of those little things I was telling you about this morning about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Okay? What was Enoch's testimony? He pleased God. Now, a lot of people are waiting to be translated. But do they have the same testimony that Enoch has? Okay? If they're in that place and through Jesus, yes. But a lot of people are waiting. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently. Everybody say, diligently seek Him. And I wrote that word down. Where is it? Let me just give you this, and when you get home, if you've got a Strong's Concordance, or if you've got any kind of a Greek helps or something that'll help you look up some words, look up that word diligently. How many want to be rewarded of God? Come on. Come on. Young people, you want to be rewarded of God? Come on. I'm looking at you. Everybody wants to be rewarded of God. Nobody that I've ever met did not want the blessings of God. Have you ever met anybody that didn't want the blessings? You don't want the... Okay. We all want the blessings of God. Sure, we want to be rewarded of God. But He rewards those that half-heartedly seek Him. Those that sometimes seek Him. Those that only seek Him when they need Him. Diligently. Now, let me give you this one. It's 1567. That's your number in the Strong's Concordance. And it means to search out. That is... investigate, crave, demand, worship. I'll give you those again. Diligently means to search out, investigate, crave, demand, and worship Him. Now let's read it for what it's really saying to us. He is the rewarder of those that search out, investigate, crave, demand, and worship Him. If you want the blessings of God, if you want Him to do what that verse says, reward you, that's what diligently means. Okay, let's move on. Verse 7, by faith to Noah. Verse 8, by faith Abraham. I know Sarah's. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah. Verse 17, by faith Abraham again. Verse 21, by faith Jacob. Verse 22, by faith Joseph. Verse 23, by faith Moses. Verse 24, by faith Moses again. Verse 29, by faith they, talking about Israel, passed through the Red Sea. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab. Verse 32, it talks about, and what shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell Gideon and Barak and Samson, my goodness, and of Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets. You can read them. I think there were 16 of them that worked by faith. And verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. Does the faith that we're reading about here in Hebrews 11 raise the dead? It's good faith. Man, it's good. Verse 39. And these all have obtained a what report? Good faith, but they didn't receive the promise. What is the promise? What? Life. Verse 40. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. God, having seen some better thing for us, they did not receive the promise. Better thing. Hebrews tells. Jesus is better than the angels. I got these out of the Strong's Concordance a little while ago. Jesus is better than angels. He's persuaded better things for you. The less is blessed of the better. There's a better hope, a better testament, a better covenant, a better promise, a better sacrifice, a better country, a better resurrection, a better thing, better things than that of Abel. What's the book of Hebrews about? Better. He's provided some better thing for you. What's he talking about in chapter 11? By faith. He's talking about there is a better faith. Hang tight. Hang close. This is good. He's talking about a better faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Now look, the race that is set before us. There's something set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher or perfecter of our faith. Do you see there's another faith? Can you see that? There's our faith. There was the Old Testament faith. How do I know those were Old Testament? That's Old Testament faith. How do I know that Hebrews chapter 11 is talking about Old Testament faith? That's all that's in there. There's not a New Testament character in Hebrews chapter 11. Obviously, Jesus is not in Hebrews chapter 11. Obviously, he is in Hebrews chapter 12. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. This is Old Covenant faith. This is Old Testament faith. They did this. They did this. There's a better faith for us. You with me? How many see there's a better faith yet to have? Amen. Now, this is good. This is good. Delbert's not being negative. This is good. This is better. He wants us to come from milk to meat. He wants you to lay a foundation so you can build. He wants us to come from a selfish way, and I'm not saying that in a negative way. He wants us to come from a selfish way into the way of the kingdom. Thank you, Roger. He wants you to come from a way of thinking of self-faith into a way of thinking faith which moves nations, faith which moves cities, faith which moves and can move creation. Creation still groans and moans waiting for the manifestation of something. Okay? So we're moving. Hang in here tight with me. I really want you to see this. Hebrews 11 is Old Testament faith or foundation faith. Hebrews 12 is New Testament faith or God's kind of faith. Is Jesus God? Okay? 3 and 1, 1 and 3, however your doctrine goes. All right? He's there in Hebrews 12. Jesus is. That's God's kind of faith. Hebrews 11 is man's faith in or towards God. Is that what Hebrews chapter 6 told us? It said faith towards God. Was that one of the foundations? Faith towards God. Old Testament faith is one of those faiths. It's that faith of casting your cares upon Him. Faith towards God to fulfill your need. Are you with me? You have faith for your headache to do what? Heal your headache. With me? It's faith toward God for your need. But Hebrews chapter 12 is God's faith towards man to fulfill God's need, or, you can understand this better, God's purpose. I'll say that again. Hebrews 12 is God's faith towards man to fulfill God's purpose. What is God's purpose? Please, somebody answer that. The kingdom in its fullness, which in its bottom line is life eternal. Now, I haven't got time to teach you all that. Well, you know that, but we've come into that realm of understanding. It's understanding that God's going to use man to do what He wants accomplished. Right now, we're wanting to use God to get what we want done. He wants to use us to get what He wants done. Okay? That's what I'm saying. Every person in Hebrews 11 is out of the Old Testament. Jesus is not named in Hebrews 11, but in Hebrews 12. Jesus is the author of your faith or our faith. Who wants to move into this dimension that I'm talking about? Do you want to move into a brand new realm of faith? You want to have your foundation laid like that, do you? You really would like to have all these. See, I'm not just talking about something that's a principle. I'm talking about something that's a reality. I am saved. I am water baptized. I do believe God for my healings. I am baptized with the Holy Ghost. I do believe God for my... This is not principles. This is not concepts. This is reality. I've got this. Now I can come to and work on this. Okay? Now, are we ready? Are we ready to go to the better? We're ready to go to the better. All right. We're ready to go to the better. You really want to walk in that dimension? Huh? We better find out what Hebrews 12 is talking about. It's tricky. First thing he starts talking about is chastening. Huh? Kingdom's fun. But the first thing you got to understand, to be a son, you're going to have to be chastened. So the first thing Hebrews 12 starts talking about is chastening in sons. Creation groans, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Waiting. Waiting for somebody to walk in Hebrews 12, faith. Waiting. Then you go on down there, and it talks about Esau and his birthright, chapter verse 16. But you get on down in there, and I read this all the time. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. But you start getting on down there in about verse 22. This is Hebrews 12, faith. This is the sum of it. But you are come to Mount Zion. Where does Hebrews 12 take you? Let me show you where it took Jesus. Go back to chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Did he have that kind of faith? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That's the first thing he had to do. That's where his faith took him. Through the cross. He endured the shame. And then look where it took him. To sit down at the right hand of the throne. This faith that I'm talking about is heading for the throne. Okay? All right? You've come to Zion. I'm back at verse 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. I'm in New Testament faith, folks. I'm no longer in Old Testament faith. I've come through that. Now we've got all these things defeated. All these are defeated in our lives. The foundation's laid. And now we can come to the better. Is the Mount Zion you came to a better Mount Zion than they came to? Sure. That's what it's taking us to, something better. And unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Uh-oh. Where we're going? Heavenly Jerusalem. And to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church, of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and the God of the judge of all the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Now, you get into some things here about shaking, but I'll just go to verse 28 and I'll close. Here is where this faith takes us. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. All right. What am I saying? I'm saying that for the most part, we are still remaining in this realm of faith. Am I saying that we haven't come to Zion? No, I'm not saying that at all. We have come to Zion. You are Zion. But there's a better, okay? There's more. We haven't scratched the surface of the New Testament covenant yet and understanding what all is there. There is so much here. There is so much depth. There's so much in the New Testament. And the sad thing is that, me included, we're still walking here. Men, how many of us, be honest with me, how many of us are still walking in here? I am. Sure. Sure. But praise the Lord. Man, Delbert's not being negative. We are here. But where does God say go to? Here. We getting that? It's a progression. And He's preparing a people today who are going to leave this realm, I promise you, and walk over here. This is your foundation, but this is what He wants you to come into. He wants you to believe God for your salvation, water baptism, your healing, your finances, the whole gamut. He wants you to believe God for that. But He also wants to believe in you to do this. Is it pretty good? We were in prayer the other morning, and I was sharing a little bit with this with Tebow, and he said, "You might ought to hold off on that one a little while." Stand.